Welcome to Podcasts of Ravnica. I'm Greg Tito, host of Dragon Talk, the official Dungeons & Dragons podcast. You know, fans are excited for the first major product combining the lore of Magic the Gathering's Plane of Ravnica with D&D mechanics for fantasy role-playing in Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica. To celebrate the launch of Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, we asked the D20 Dames podcast to recruit new members of the D&D and Magic Live Play community to create 10 one-shot stories, each focusing on a different guild in the sprawling city of Ravnica. Hopefully, by listening to these episodes, you get introduced to the possibilities of storytelling in Ravnica and maybe find one or two new podcasts to follow. To find out more about these groups and Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, available in game stores now and everywhere, November 20th, head to dnd.wizards.com/ggtr or check out our live video programming on twitch.tv/dnd. Have fun listening to this first episode of Podcast of Ravnica, brought to you by Dames and Dragons, focusing on the Golgari Swarm. Happy listening.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to this very special episode of Dames and Dragons /
Dungeon Delve.
So we are Dames and Dragons. We are an actual play 5e Dungeons and Dragons podcast with a cast of four beautiful
people.
Humans.
I was trying to come up with another adjective. So
eggs.
Four egg is not an adjective.
Eggy.
Spoiler.
We are a podcast with four beautiful sugary, sweet, salty beautiful angel fish in human skins.
Oh, yummy. So Dames and Dragons is the story of 3 to 4 beautiful guardians.
Teens.
Yeah. Who have to protect a deity / person.
Teen.
Who is a teen who is the goddess. And, you know, there's evil, there's mystery.
There's dump jokes.
There's so many dump jokes.
There's a lot of those.
But we're not, like, super close rule followers. That's something to keep in mind moving forward. We kind of prioritize having a good time together and telling a cool story and the rule of cool in general. So that's, yeah. There's original deities and lore. There's me and all these people as well.
Really good job.
Great job.
Really, really
That's
good job.
That's our podcast in a nutshell, in a sweet and salty nutshell.
In a human skin, as they say.
Let's go around and introduce ourselves. Hello, I'm Kat. I am your DM here, now, then, and there, forever, and always, and in all things in life.
Amen.
And Kat is also our DM on Dames and Dragons.
I sure am.
And she does a great job.
Thank
She's
you.
She's amazing.
I am Noelle. Today I'll be playing Jared. He is a druid, the Circle of Spores, and he is level 6. And he is a goblin.
Thank God he's the Goblin King Jared!
Yeah, really.
Fuck yes.
And he is a member, as all of us are, of the Golgari Swarm.
I am Caitlin. Today, in this moment, I am playing Eggy.
Eggy?
Eggy.
Go on.
It's spelled A-E-G-Y, and Good. In your heart, you pronounce it like the word egg with 2 G's and 1 E. Mm. And she is a level 6 ranger, and she's a member of the Golgari Horde, but she is a Simic hybrid.
Wow. I'm Hannah, and I am playing Isil, who is a level 6 wizard and a dark elf.
Well, that's us. So I guess let's get started. Let's do the dang thing. So today we are playing from the new, exciting, sensual D&D supplement, the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, which is bringing in the world of Ravnica to the system of D&D. A much beloved setting in Magic the Gathering. Now more nerds can enjoy it. Only one type of nerd could enjoy it, and now 2 types of nerds can enjoy it. And even 3 types of nerds.
Potentially 4.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe even five.
But only five.
Only five.
No more.
No more than five. So Ravnica is a setting which is an enormous city. It's a planet-sized city. And it is divided and ruled by guilds. And we have the pleasure, the esteemed honor of representing the Golgari Horde today.
Like some sort of goth trash people?
Yeah, goth trash people is a very good description of the Golgari Horde. They value the balance of life and death and nature. Death is just a part of the cycle of life. They embrace it, they spread it, and then they put it on a nice crouton, I guess. So the Golgari, they're territory, their turf, is the undercity of Ravnica, and all places where death has begun to claim the life of the city. The Golgari are in charge of waste disposal and recycling in the city. That's what their role is, and they do that with pride and a lot of very good style. They're making their moves on the city of Ravnica. This is their time. Their time to shine. They are the all-stars. Okay, now. Let's get our game on. Let's go play. So, the three of you are Golgari agents. You've gained some acclaim already in the guild. You are known and trusted. You might not be known by the guild leader.
Our dad, Elf Lich Gerard.
Yeah. Gerard, the Elf Lich, our guild leader. He doesn't know your names. But, you know, he's aware that there are some very good eggs in his horde.
His swarm, as you might say.
And so, the three of you have been asked to meet with one of the Golgari High Chancellors, Rizdana, in a sunken ruin of a grand mansion which fell to the Undercity centuries ago and was claimed by the Horde. Or perhaps the city was simply built up over it. It's hard to tell, and it doesn't really matter anyway. It will all belong to the Horde eventually, no matter how it gets there. Gently glowing blue mushrooms sprout from the ancient pillars in the foyer, and their spores drift through the still air and cast an eerie glow. A soft carpet of spongy blue moss muffles your steps as you walk across the hall to a curtain of vines which hangs over a doorway to an inner chamber. A human woman stands in front of the curtain holding a staff. Her hair is plaited into many braids and piled on her head in an elaborate style, threaded with bits of bone and beautiful detritus. She looks at you with a pinched expression. She says, "Who are you? Please state your business. The Chancellor is very busy."
"Good evening. I'm Isil. We're here for an appointment with Chancellor Rizdana."
Do you want to say a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, like, I think my character definitely born into it. I'm very into the whole, like, I'm very ambitious, very much want to climb the ranks. I think of my character as kind of being into the whole, like, management stuff. So, like, synergy and, like, the secret and shit like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And your companions?
Okay. Hello, my name is Iggy. We're here for an appointment with the Chancellor.
I took everything that I built my character completely off of, like, dice rolls from the book, which is, like, the old-fashioned way, because partially I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. So my character, Eggy, is a Simic hybrid, so she was not born into, but she was nearly murdered by a Medusa one time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And then every time you're nearly murdered by a Medusa, you just gotta go, oh man, I gotta be near this.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it was very much like
love at first sight.
And she loves reptiles, so it was like lady with snakes on her head, gotta give me some of that. Mm-hmm. But then it turned out to be a dangerous situation.
Oh.
So, but, you know, everything went smoothly because the lady was like, you could join the Golgari.
And
that would be like real funny because you're a Simic.
Yeah, so. Like, love at first sight is, like, not something you want with a Medusa.
Not exactly.
Now me.
Hey, what up? I'm Jared. I'm 19.
Do you know how to read?
I never fucking learned how to read.
I'm so angry how deeply and long you were just sitting on that.
Yeah, damn.
You're just holding it in, like bursting at the seams.
I'm Jared. And I was born as well to my...
You were born?
Oh my God. Into the Golgari swarm. To my goblin mom and dad, my goblin dad, as they call them. And they named me Jared after our beautiful high leader, Gerard. Mm-hmm. And I aspire to be like him, a lich. Mm-hmm. Any time that can happen, like I'm rearing to go.
All right, and the woman looks down at a list on a clipboard in her hand, and she nods and pulls aside the curtain for you. Why don't you guys just tell me, how did the three of you meet? How did you guys become a team?
Oh. You know,
how does anybody do anything?
Really?
When you think about it. From what I read about the Golgari, it seems like there isn't exactly like social rank and you're just sort of assigned tasks. So mm-hmm. we may have just been like, oh, this person does this, this person does this, this person does this. Let's put them together in a unit.
Yeah, I feel like we were just assigned to a unit. And of course, like we're part of the swarm.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to that.
And we're going to get along.
And
of course.
We're going to get along so good.
Yeah.
And you guys just sort of distinguished yourselves as a great team. And so now you've been singled out for this assignment. Oh, also, what do you guys look like?
So, yeah, Isil is a dark elf.
Which we should specify, the dark elves in Ravnica are different than the dark elves in Faerun. Mm-hmm. The dark elves of Ravnica are known as the Devkaran elves. And they don't have the black skin, white hair. They're more sort of in line with the wood elf aesthetic, except they all have like dark brown hair and or black hair instead of green hair, which the wood elves in Ravnica have.
Yeah. She's a dark elf. She has hair, you know, like the Gibson girl kind of hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's big. She's got big hair. It's, you know, up. She's got big old shoulder pads and she's wearing a cape.
Nice.
Very good.
Sounds great.
All right, Eggie.
Okay, so Eggie is basically like a fish person.
Mm.
She's completely smooth like a shark.
in all directions.
In all directions.
Yeah, yeah. Sharks have very smooth skin.
Yeah. Also, she's got two manta ray, like, flaps, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah, that come out from her arms and then they, like, attach down. They're very, very cool.
Nice.
And then she can also spit acid. So her teeth are just rotted. Just completely rotted. And she also has her eternal companion, Boga, who is the lizard from Revenge of the Sith that Obi-Wan rides.
Will you describe what that looks like?
Yes.
For people who may not be obsessed with that lizard and talk about nothing else whenever they mention Star Wars.
She's like the size of a large pony.
Okay.
And she's like green and blue. And
is she with you today?
Gorgeous. Yeah, she's always with me. She never leaves my side.
Okay. If you and your lizard opened up a tea shop, it would be a Boga tea shop.
Yep.
Like Boba tea.
Yep.
Yeah, cat. Yes. Yes, we understand, cat.
It was a great joke. Continue.
So Jared is a goblin.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3 feet tall. He has warty green skin. He is, in case any of you are wondering, bald by choice. And, you know, he just looks like kind of like happy to be where he is. He's wearing some cool leather armor. He's got, you know, mushrooms growing off him. He has a wooden shield that's shaped like a little mushroom cap. He has an aura of spores, and you can't see it, but you can definitely smell it.
All right. So, the three of you, you walk down a hallway dimly lit by more glowing fungus, at the end of which there is a waterfall which tumbles over the broken walls of the manor and plunges into a rough hole in the floor. To the left of this is a doorway flanked by two guards equipped in chitinous armor. They cast you sidelong looks as you walk past into the Chancellor's office. This room is grandly appointed, with much of the salvageable furniture from the manor decorating the space, Any structural issues with the furniture have been repaired by living structures. Missing table legs replaced by small trees which have been grown around the rest of the table. Blooms of soft fungus replacing rotting upholstery, that sort of thing. Rizdana is standing to the right of the room where there is a little garden of mushroom varieties which she is tending. She's a Devkaran elf, a dark elf, with dark brown skin and black hair woven into a headdress made of the golden iridescent caprice of a huge beetle. She straightens from her work as you approach, turning to give the three of you an appraising look.
Good, you look prepared. I have a job for the three of you.
Great. I'm just ready to get my mojo back.
Ooh, don't like that.
I'm here to help.
So Rizdana, she glides over to her desk and takes up two vials, which she rolls in her palm contemplative, before turning around and handing them to you, Jared. The first vial contains a violently red mushroom about the size of a thimble. The other contains dull brown spores, which are so light they swirl in the vial if you shake it.
Last week, one of our scouts finally found the path which leads to the Orzhov Vault. Your mission is to get in and take as many magical treasures and valuables as you can manage. To do this, you will use these two specimens. The first will burrow through even the hardest stone, given enough time. Once you are in, loose these spores into the hole of the vault and let them settle over the room. Once they have absorbed the memory of the vault, they will replicate anything you remove once they are activated. Then you are out, and the ostentatious crones in the syndicate will never know their baubles are missing. When you are done, you will deposit them at the depot in the streets under the 6th Precinct. Do well, and Guildmaster Gerard will look favorably upon you.
Whoa. I can see why you chose us for this assignment. We won't disappoint you, Chancellor.
I'm, like, really nervous, and I'm, like, now bungling the vials because I'm like, holy shit, Gerard.
Eggy, like, grabs them from you because you're, like, juggling them,
yeah,
like, horribly, and she stuffs them in her pocket and says,
I've never failed a mission before, and I won't stop now.
Cool, that's fine. I, like, try to, like, push my hair back, but I'm bald by choice.
Jared, 19, bald by choice. Let's go.
One of the guards from the door comes forward and hands you guys a map, which shows where you need to go. And Rizdana says,
one more thing. Only one of our scouts made it back from the vault. The syndicate guards its treasures well. So you must guard your lives more closely. But remember, even your deaths will serve the Horde.
Totally.
I can't wait to die. All things die in the end. So.
Of course.
All right, and then you are ushered out of her office.
I immediately, as soon as we are, like, out of the room, I, like, crumple into a tiny, tiny little goblin ball, and I'm like, oh my god, Gerard, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Gerard, I'm loving the energy, really, but, you've got to calm down a little bit. It's going to be fine.
My namesake!
Gerard, please, all things will die in the end, including Gerard, and when that time comes.
Oh my god, he's literally a lich. Like, what are you talking about? He's
all
already dead, dude.
Things die in the end. Including Gerard. Including me. Including Isildur. Including you.
I'm loving the synergy happening here right now. I just want us to take that energy and just focus it in. This is going to be great.
Okay, man. You're right.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I will die, that's for sure.
There's comfort and certainty, Jared.
Ooh, I love that.
It's so creepy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Really good.
Thank you.
All right, so all of you have, of course, spent much of your lives crawling around the Undercity. And you're familiar with the way life creeps over death here and how death slowly retakes that life. And how it will retake your life, too, if you're not careful. The buried remains of buildings crawl with plants and fungus, which make homes for insects and rats that skitter into unseen places. The three of you head deep into the tangled jungle of ruins and revitalization. It's a grueling trek through rarely trafficked areas of the Undercity, and more than once, you note the movement of a reclusive band of Kral scouts who keep a respectful distance. Once, Eggy, you lock eyes with a solitary Medusa. Not one of the ones belonging to the Golgari. A wild one. And for a terrible moment, you must ready your weapons and spells. But she moves on. And the three of you do, too.
I am swooned.
Eggy, calm down.
She was just so beautiful.
Hold it in.
I'm trying to it.
Hold her back.
Yeah, I do. I, like, take your arm and I'm like, oh, my God.
I'm, like, way taller than you, so you're, like, a little child clinging to my knee.
That's fine.
The three of you squeeze through a crack in a stone wall following your map and come into a massive chamber. Stalagmites reach up to meet stalactites, some forming pillars in the chamber. In front of you, one of these pillars has been knocked down to form a bridge over a deep chasm. On the other end of the room, sewage water falls into this chasm, and the roar of the waterfall echoes through the chamber. Across the pillar bridge is the next tunnel that you need to go through.
Wait, so what's the issue?
Can we just walk over the bridge?
Are we scared of bridges?
Well, I am deathly afraid of bridges. I forgot to mention this about my character. I have a terrible fear.
I'm afraid that I have a choice now.
Yeah, same.
So yeah, well, I guess we'll do a fucking perception check because a bridge.
Perceive the bridge.
Yeah. I want to perceive the bridge.
Okay.
I got 16. Tell me about the bridge.
Okay. Yeah, looks like when this bridge was originally knocked down, there was some structural damage to the pillar. It might be a little unstable.
Uh-oh.
Oof.
I sure would hate to be someone who requires foot-based travel right now.
And then I grab the little edges of my cape and I just flap my way right up.
Why? What? Tell what?
What cape are you wearing?
Why, I'm wearing the cloak of the bat.
So you have to use it like cosplay bat wings.
Yeah. And it's a real item that I didn't make up. And
it sounds like you made it up. I know it is a real item and that you didn't make it up, but it sounds like you made it up.
Well, I fucking didn't, so I'm flapping my way up.
Kat, is there something across the bridge? Like a
where you'd need to go. It's the pathway forward is across the bridge.
Is there like just like something that like theoretically I could like throw a dagger into though?
There's a lot of stone.
I just want to throw the dagger. Like, it doesn't even have to stick in anything. I just need to get it across the bridge.
Make an athletics check.
Can you give me the dagger?
No.
You have to throw it.
I need to use it, yes.
I know. I'm just saying I could carry it over to the other side for you.
No, you're not understanding what's happening.
Okay.
Okay, you can try. Yeah, you can try.
Well. That's, 7. This ruined my life.
You should have just given it to Jared.
No, I need to use it. What happens, Kat?
You throw the dagger and it hits the far side of the chasm. It clinks off the stone and falls into the ravine.
Okay, well, I call it back because
okay,
it's a blink dog dagger.
Nice.
And it comes back to me instantly. And I want to try that one more time, Kat, please.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
That is a 21, Kat.
All right, yeah. It doesn't stick into anything, but you do throw it across the chasm.
And it just lands on the ground?
It lands on the ground.
I use Misty Step to Misty Step to it.
Well, which you can do because it's a blink
which
dagger.
I can do because it's a blink dog dagger.
Okay. Radical. You made it across. Jared?
It's time to use my little levitation shoes.
I love all of our stupid fucking items.
I shouldn't have given you guys those items.
Yeah, sure, shouldn't have.
Well, we all chose ones that were like, we need to get across ravines.
Yeah,
because we did. Know Kat's number one like torture item is ravine.
That's true. That and a locked door.
That's true. Oh, I don't have any way to open a locked door.
Yeah, well done.
I don't either.
Fucked.
You're going to break into a vault.
Opening doors for idiots,
it's
anyway.
It's really hard to open a door.
Basically, my shoes let me be able to cast levitate on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, I have to go like across the bridge, but I'm not touching the bridge.
All right, you did it. You solved my bridge puzzle.
Yay! Yeah.
Da, da. All right, so you move on through that tunnel ahead of you, and you start to feel really lightheaded as you do. Why don't you all make constitution saves for me?
Oh. Me? Ooh.
19.
9.
Ooh. I got 14.
Okay. Oh, and then it is Eggie who is not feeling very good. Eggie, you fall to your knees.
Ooh.
And you're going to take...
Oh, my... Oh, I've got it. I've caught something. I've caught it. It's time.
You take 4 damage. And
it's
you
not
will...
time yet, Eggie.
You will have disadvantage on all of your rolls until you are out of the gas cloud.
Oh.
And up ahead of you, you see that the passage has been blocked by rubble and debris. And there are black blast marks on the wall, which show that this blockage is not natural.
What is destroyed? Is it the tunnel ahead?
Yeah, the tunnel ahead. And as you see this blockage in front of you, there is a series of explosions from behind you.
Oh, Jesus.
And you are trapped in this noxious tunnel.
A trap, eh?
A trap, I see.
Trapped in some sort of a trap.
I lean on Boga.
Can I do, like, a perception check to see if there's any other exit from this area?
Sure.
I got over 20 for perception.
Okay. You find a crack in the rubble that you can, like, get your hand through.
Okay, and does it feel like there's open air on the other side?
Yes.
Okay, and that's where we're going, the
yes,
direction we're
going. Yes, in front of you.
Okay. Are there any, like, loose-feeling rocks towards the top?
Yeah, you're able to pull aside some of them, but not very many. There's enough for maybe you to get through, but definitely nobody who's bigger than you.
Okay.
We're talking really heavy rocks, I'm assuming, like more than 10 pounds per rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big boulders.
I can have Boga help you. She's a good little girl.
Yeah. Why don't you and Boga do it?
Boga and Eggie, who is poisoned, by the way, you useless bastards, go and climb to the top and try and dig through.
Yeah, you need strength roll for you, and you have disadvantage, and strength roll for your lizard.
Okay, well, that's an 18.
Mm-hmm, that's great.
And that's a 4. 7 for me.
Great.
The poisoned person.
Uh-huh.
And my sweet baby Boga.
Uh-huh.
You are not rolling so hot.
Yeah, she rolled a 6.
All right, so the two of you, like, claw your way up to the top of this cave-in and start to just sort of ineffectually paw at the dirt.
I have like webbed hands and I'm weak, and Boga thinks it's a game, so she's just mimicking me.
Yep.
I don't cast like guidance or anything, but I do shout, visualize your goals.
I'm doing my best. I've been poisoned.
You sound exactly like my ex-husband.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can fit through, right?
Yeah, you can go. You can get through.
I don't know. Can I peek out and see what's on the other side?
You can. You peek your head out, and there is magical darkness on the other side.
Ooh, I like that.
You cannot see through it even with your dark vision.
That's well, I could definitely cast Chromatic Orb. Basically, I could do a 4-inch diameter sphere of energy that does 3d8 damage, and I can choose the type, so I can choose acid damage.
I think that's probably our best bet.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to maybe get Eggie out of the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to drag me off.
Okay, cool.
I pull Eggie's little ankles.
Okay. My ankles are very large compared to your small, tiny goblin body.
I pull you by the toes.
Are you guys actually trying to drag Eggie? Is Eggie not helping at all?
I'm being tortured.
Oh my god, are you quoting him? Anyway, quit being such a baby about it, Eggie. Come here, I'll help you.
I've literally been poisoned.
We've all been poisoned, Eggie.
Fuck you guys.
That's the spirit. Okay, so I'm gonna, I have a crystal that I'm gonna use as my focus, and I'm gonna go ahead and cast Chromatic Orb.
Just roll damage.
Okay, cool. 11.
All right, yeah, that does enough that you melt away the topmost rocks, and you do have to wait for a few minutes while the acid dissipates and finishes eating through the rocks, but the breath of fresh air from outside is enough that Eggie's poison has been dispelled.
It's not my time today.
Don't worry about it, Eggie. Maybe next time.
I can only hope.
So you guys climb over the top of the rocks?
No, not yet. Let's have the lizard look.
Boga does have blind sight.
Does that see through magical darkness?
It doesn't rely on visual sight.
Okay. Eggie, you're you know, have a hand on... Does Boga have like a harness or like a... Yeah, so you've got your hand on Boga's harness. Tell her to go over the rubble, and she starts to go, and you immediately feel her full weight on your arm. Why don't you make a strength check?
It's like she's falling?
Yes.
16.
16, yeah. You're able to hold on to Boga as she scrambles at the completely empty air outside of the little cave-in hole that you guys managed to do. It seems that there is nothing beyond that.
Can I do a perception check to sense with my hearing and with my, you know, like, you know, you can perceive. Sense when you're in,
yeah.
When you're in like a big room.
Yeah.
Versus
throw a rock. See how far it echoes.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Well, first I'll throw the rock. What does that seem like?
It takes a long time before you hear it hit something.
What if I throw it like forward as hard as I can?
Same thing. Takes even longer.
Okay. So it's not like there's just a ravine. Mm-hmm. So my perception check is 21.
Okay. This is maybe like a 40-foot drop. You do also, as you're like, you've got your little hands over the edge of the rock pile, you feel like maybe there's something carved on the wall there, but you can't get a good picture of it.
Carved?
Mm-hmm.
Like where I'm touching?
Yeah. Like, maybe there's a larger carving that's been disrupted by this cave-in.
I can't feel what it is.
You only have a 3-foot reach, so you can't feel the entirety of it.
Okay, which one of us has the longest arms?
I reach over and I try to feel it out with my little fingies.
It seems like these carvings lead to an indent in the cave wall, which it's a fist-sized indent.
Like somebody punched it?
Or like something fist-sized should fit in there.
Oh, okay.
Like a fist?
Like a fist? It might be like something that I could hold on to. Like if I tried to climb down.
I guess, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to do something really quick before anything else happens. And I'm going to cast Spider Climb.
Nice.
On Boga.
Oh.
Okay. So I want to swing down there, Kat, and like try and climb and put my hand in the
Okay. hole. Give me an athletics check.
Okay. I pray to God right now. Just 16.
Okay, you swing down and you stick your hand in and you feel something cold in there.
Like ice cream?
Yeah, like there's a soft serve ice cream cone in there.
I grab it right
no,
out.
There's not an ice cream cone. Christ.
What is it? Is it like a physical object or is it just like a scent, like an cold air?
It's
like
some ice cream.
No, it is. It feels like a cold metal chain.
Can I pull it?
Yeah. You hear a horrible shrieking and the chain comes loose. Make a dexterity check.
18.
Okay, you are able to keep your grip on the chain as it comes loose and lowers you down to the ground. All the while, as you are descending down this cliff face, you hear the wailing of restless spirits and the clanking of chains. And why don't you roll an initiative?
Cool,
all
you
of
guys.
You can get in on this.
Okay.
What? All of us?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's a nat 20. What do you get for rolling a nat 20 on initiative?
You go first.
Fucking that's it? Okay.
What did the rest of you roll?
I got a 5.
Okay. I got a 12.
So, Eggie, you find the ground underneath your feet and you feel the cold presence of the indentured spirits of the Orzhov Syndicate. Those who did not pay their debts to this guild in life are now forced to serve them in death. And today they are serving as guards to the vault. And Eggie, because you rolled a natty 20, you get to go first.
Okay.
You can't, it's still magically dark though, by the way.
Okay, so I can't actually see anything.
You cannot see them. You will be rolling at disadvantage.
Okay, so I want Boga to also climb down here with me. I can use her as like a second attack.
Neat.
As a ranger. First, I will attack. They're ghosts.
They're ghosts.
Are they impervious to physical damage? Cat's smiling, so she...
Certain types of physical damage.
Goddamn ghosts.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw my dagger at the nearest ghosty.
Okay, roll to hit, and you are at disadvantage in this darkness.
Oof, that's right. Well, that's a natural one, so all I don't think I can get lower than that.
No, you cannot. You throw your dagger into empty air.
Okay.
And you hear it hit something in the distance that is not a ghost.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to go there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure. I'll teleport there just for fucking shits and giggles. What happens to me, Kat?
You teleport.
And I'm just in another place. Okay.
You're in
I'm
another
blind.
Place. You're
still
blind.
Dark.
You okay. Still have no idea where you are.
So I'm also going to have Boga use the attack bite.
Okay.
On a ghost. That's way over 20.
And her bite, is that piercing damage?
So it is, but it's also, and maybe this doesn't do anything either, but it's also poison damage.
Oh, they're immune to poison.
Makes sense.
They're resistant to piercing damage. They're not immune to piercing damage.
Oh. That's 10.
10?
Yeah.
All right. So Boga has a little bit of trouble getting her many sharp teeth around this ghost, but she does manage to lay a little bit of hurt on this thing.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
All right, and now it is the ghost's turn. And
boo.
They...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly what they say. All right, so they are going to go after their only available targets. Eggie and Boga.
Yeah.
Does a 13 hit Boga?
Does not hit Boga.
Does not hit Boga. And does a 19 hit you?
Absolutely, Kat, it does hit me.
Okay, all right. 5 damage plus 2 damage.
Okay.
Isil, it's your turn.
Great. Okay, so first off, free action talking. I'm going to shout down to Eggie, how's it going down there?
Eggie has just taken 7 damage of ghost necrotic damage. Boga's doing fine. So she shouts back up, it's, you know, I've been better, but I'm doing okay. How are you?
Great.
There are those ghosts down here. Yes, just so that you know, they're everywhere. And I grabbed a chain and I fell all the way down.
Good work.
Thanks.
You're doing great.
Can you use your stupid bat cape and get down here, please?
In a minute, I'm thinking about it, all right?
Stop thinking and start doing!
Okay, so I'm going to, can I cast a cantrip as a level 2 spell and expend a spell slot that way?
I think so.
I can create up to 4 torch-sized lights within range, and they can hover and stuff. So I'm going to start by sending a light down to where I heard Eggie's voice coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll put one 10 feet in front of where we are, like above the chasm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll space the other two as evenly going down.
Okay.
And then I guess I'm going to flap my way down there.
All right. Now that you're able to see what's below you from your dancing, beautiful dancing lights, you see that there are 6 indentured spirits of the Orzhov Guild. They are wraiths dressed in black cloaks with golden painted designs on them and bound with rattling golden chains, which symbolize their eternal servitude to the Orzhov Syndicate for the sin of not paying their debts.
Nice.
Now, Jared.
Oh, it's 19. Me. I'm Jared. I am 19. Which is older among goblins.
Oh.
We reach full age at 8.
Oh,
wait,
my
for
God.
Real? I thought
what
you were a teenager.
Fuck? Same.
Anyway, can I like slide down that chain?
Yeah.
How close are the ghosts to me if I do that?
They are all around you.
I'm going to cast Shillelagh.
I don't know. Shillelagh?
Shillelagh?
Shillelagh.
Shillelagh on my weapon.
Okay.
And it is now imbued with nature's power. And I'm actually not going to come all the way down the chain. I'm literally just going to be, like, until I'm within, like, scimitar stabbing distance.
Sure, yeah. There's one that's floating up close to close enough that you don't have to come all the way to the ground. All
right. Then I will attack that one. So then I rolled a 22.
Okay. And that super hits them.
Okay. Whoa, and I got an 8.
Nice.
Plus 2, 10.
10? Okay. It damage. Doesn't like that. It screams in pain and rage.
I say from the chain where I'm holding on like a little squirrel.
Eggie, it is back up to you.
Excellent hustle, Jared.
Thank you.
Yes, it's nice that someone is doing something.
Stop fighting!
I can see, right? Because of the fairy fire?
Now. Oh, you can! That's funny.
I don't want to hear anything from you!
Don't have to get so mad about it.
I want to go for the ghost that Boga bit, and then okay. I'm also going to have Boga bite that one again.
Okay.
22.
That hits, yes.
11.
Okay, and it is resistant to that, so it takes 5. It's the ghost now, yeah.
They're going.
They're doing.
Ghosts.
All right, since all of you are now down there, they are going to split up, and two of them will attack each of you. Does 10 hit your armor class?
Fuck no.
It doesn't?
No.
All right, ghosts miss you, Hannah. Eggie. That's a 2, so ghosts. Ghosts going for Jared.
No.
Come on, ghosts.
I never had a chance to learn how to read.
Does 17 hit your armor class?
It sure does.
All right. So that ghost grabs you with its cold, clawed hand and does 10 necrotic damage to you. Mm. And now it is Isil.
So I only have, like, one attack that isn't, like, poison or necrotic, which is chromatic orb. So I guess I'm gonna do that. I pick a random ghost.
All right.
And let's see.
Just point and shoot.
Yeah. 11.
That hits. It meets, it beats.
Oh, what a great day. All right, cool.
What a lovely day.
A wonderful day to be me. 7.
7. Nice. All right. That hurts it. It doesn't like it.
Oh, yeah. And as a bonus action, mm-hmm. I'd like to move my my orbs of light so that they're dispersed across the ground down here.
Okay.
I like to move your orbs, if you know what I mean.
All right, Eggie. All right. Calm down.
All right, Eggie.
All right. Jared.
Oh, it's me. Okay. So I'm still on my chain.
Uh-huh.
But they like came up to get me, right?
Yeah, they can float.
Whatever. So I'm going to attack the one that's nearest to me.
Okay.
21.
That hits.
And 8 damage this time.
You destroy this ghost.
Nah, bye. Ha ha ha.
Your scimitar shreds through its spectral form, and with one last dying and somewhat grateful sounding gasp, it disappears. And now we're back up to Eggie.
I do want to do something, Kat.
You do?
Because these are undead creatures.
They are.
And they are my favorite enemy. Uh-huh. I can actually speak with them.
Oh.
So I would like to turn to the ghosts
mm-hmm.
and say, did you see what just happened to your dear friend? He was lifted up into the nethersphere and released from his servitude. Wouldn't you love for that to happen to you as well? Just stop fighting, and we'll free you all.
The ghosts appear to have no will of their own and do not respond.
God damn you.
It was a good try.
All right, well then, in that case, I guess I'm gonna hit him. And I, with a rageful battle cry, and it sounds kind of like...
Really good.
I go and slash or pierce, whatever, one of them. 21.
21 hits.
So that's 4 plus 3, so that's 7 damage.
All right, you destroy that ghost.
Yeah.
So we have 5 left?
Well, no, you have 4 left.
So then I'm also going to have Boga attack another ghost.
Okay.
I'm going to go for one of the one that looks the least happy.
Yeah, the one that looks most beat up?
Most beat up, yes.
Okay. They don't. None of them look happy.
Yeah, okay.
They're all indentured slaves.
That's really fair.
Yeah.
So Boga's going to go for that one.
Okay.
That's a lot.
More than 11?
Way.
Then it hits.
It's like 20-something. And that's 8.
8
damage.
Total?
Yeah.
Total. So by half, that's 4.
Yes.
And that destroys that ghost.
Wow! Oh.
So now there are only 3 ghosts left. And the ghosts all as one rattle together and let out a raspy breath as the light comes back to this chamber. And as the darkness clears, you see in front of you an enormous square of stone that is suspended from the ceiling above your favorite, a deep canyon. I got a theme here. Yes. That is suspended over a deep canyon by huge chains. On the ground nearby, there are the corpses of four Golgari scouts, broken and bloody and cold. But those aren't important right now. What is important is the remaining indentured spirits are gathered around a guardian giant wearing a helm with the sigil of the Orzhov Syndicate, who stands sentry in front of the vault. He lets out a bellowing roar, which makes the whole cavern shake, and then charges. So he is gonna charge for... We'll go with you, Eggy.
Yay.
Man, Eggy's just...
This guy's like an actual giant.
An actual literal giant.
Okay, but he's not a ghost.
Not a ghost.
Thank God. Thank
you. He takes damage like a normal giant.
I'll take a giant over a ghost any fucking day.
Yeah.
That's a 24 to hit?
Yes, Kat, that does in fact hit.
17 damage.
Oh, Jesus. Great. Why does Kat look excited right now?
He gets 3 attacks.
What?
Hits you with the first one. That's a 28, so that'll hit.
28? We're gonna die.
Well, he did just roll a 2, so that's 12, and that does not hit you.
No.
There you go. So.
It's 10.
So that one will be 14 damage. He attacks with a spear. He has an enormous spear, also engraved with the Orzhov symbol, which he uses to attack Eggy.
Whose turn is next?
It is yours.
Okay, cool.
Isil is up.
So I think I'm going to cast Ray of Enfeeblement.
Okay.
Ooh, is that a 19?
That is a 19.
Fuck yes. Okay, so that's a 19, and that's plus my bonus, so that's over 20.
That'll hit.
Okay, cool. And then on a hit, the target deals only half damage with weapon attacks that use strength until the spell ends, and the duration is a minute. Mm-hmm. But since combat turns only 6 seconds...
Yeah, that's a while.
Very nice.
I guess that's my turn.
That's a really good...
All right, so all of his attacks are going to do half damage now, which is very good for all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Jared.
Oh, Jared, okay. I'm going to heal... Eggy, do you need to be healed, right?
Oh, hell yeah, I need to be healed.
So I'm going to come touch you and do cure wounds. It's 7 plus 8, which is 15.
Cribbage.
Cribbage. The only reason to do math.
True. My childhood, it was.
And it was back up to Eggy.
I'm going
to
go for the weakest looking ghost with my short sword.
Okay.
15.
That'll hit.
So that's 6 total.
6 total? Yeah, that kills it.
Oh, nice. Fuck yes.
Yeah, how do you kill it? Tell me how you kill it.
I take my short sword, I stick it right into the ghost's, like, little face,
mm-hmm.
and it crumples in on itself like Sauron.
Very cool. I love it.
So Boga's gonna go for the next most damaged-looking ghost, and Boga got an insane number. Boga got 28.
That is great.
Yeah. Then Boga's gonna do Boga's damage.
All right.
And Boga does 8 total damage to the ghost. So 4.
Now it is the ghost's turn. There's 2 ghosts. One ghost is going to go for Jared.
No.
And that is a 18.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay. And that is 9 damage. Isil, he does a 12 hit your armor class?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. 6 damage.
All right.
Okay, and then it is your turn, son of Isildur.
You crazy kids.
Blame Caitlin. Caitlin started it.
It's my fault.
All right, cool. I get to finally fucking raise a dead.
Raise that dead.
Yay!
Yeah, boy.
That's what I'm all about. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and raise the strongest dead soldier that I see on the ground.
All right, human fighter. Yes. He's got a longsword.
Cool. So my spell will imbue the target with a foul mimicry of life, raising it as an undead creature. So they're zombie if I'm choosing a corpse, which I am. Mm. You know me.
I know you.
Cool. So I want to say something cool.
Yes.
Like, remember to recycle.
So now he has a turn?
Well, I can use a bonus action on each of my turns to command it. So I guess I'll have him go ahead and attack one of the ghosts.
All right.
Oh, that's a 20. I was confused 20. About what the... Well, I looked at it and I was like, that doesn't... Why does that 3 look so big?
Roll double damage.
4 plus 6, 10.
All right, so that's 5 damage. Because it's...
A ghost.
It's a ghost. Yep.
Got me there.
Got you there. It is a ghost. All right. Now it's Jared.
I'm thinking about Gerard, my spiritual dad. I'm thinking about my real mom and dad, my gob and gad. And I'm just like getting really pumped.
That's great visualization. Really proud of you.
You know, I'm only 19 and I think I want to live a little bit longer before I become new life in the form of mushrooms. So I'm going to do a really cool Circle of Spores druid thing, and it's called Symbiotic Entity. So basically, I use an action and one use of my wild shape ability to gain 24 temporary hit points.
Nice.
And it lasts 10 minutes. I get some double damage on some certain things, and I get 1d6 poison damage extra.
Okay.
And because I am a little goblin, I have nimble escape, so I'm going to disengage.
Okay.
Which I can do without provoking an attack of opportunity.
Nice.
As a bonus action.
Very good. Now it's the giant's turn. Giant's going to attack where it's really going to hurt. The giant's going to attack Boga.
I knew it.
Son of a bitch.
Bastard.
So that is a 24. Does that hit Boga's insane armor class?
It does hit Boga's insane armor class.
Okay. That's a 27.
Yes, cat.
I'm just going to roll the hit a third time. That's an 18.
Yes.
Okay. It'll be 14.
Divided by 2. It's a Ray of Enfeeblement.
Oh, Ray of Enfeeblement. Yeah. So that's 7.
Thank you, cat.
So that would be 3. So there you go. 7 plus 3 plus 6.
Jesus Christ.
And now it's back to Eggie.
So I'm going to actually use my turn to cast Cure Wounds on my sweet baby Boga. So she's up to 17 from 24.
That's not so bad.
Yeah. And she is going to attack the last ghost.
Two ghosts.
There's still two ghosts. God damn it.
Yeah.
She's going for the one that's still alive. She's going for the one ghost that's left, Kat.
There's two ghosts.
She's going for the one that's left.
There's still two.
She'll go for the one that's been hurt.
Okay.
And she's gonna bite him.
Okay.
She's gonna bite him real good. 17.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay. 9 damage total, yeah.
4, and that kills the ghost!
Yay!
How does Boga kill the ghost?
Boga rips its head off of its ghost body.
Nice.
And then it just, like, goes back.
Yeah.
Like it's on a yo-yo.
Nice. All right, now you're down to one ghost, one giant. And it is the ghost's turn. The ghost is gonna go after Isil. What's a natty twunt?
What the fuck?
Shit!
So that is going to be 13 damage.
You doing all right over there?
You know it is. Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Oh my god. All right. So I got my little thrall, mm-hmm. which is nice to have. So I think, yeah. So if I do Erupting Earth, like that's going to be a 20-foot cube centered on a point. Can I do that without like getting us?
20 feet is not that big.
No, I think you're fine, because Boga was last attacking a ghost, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. We haven't attacked the
giant.
Okay, cool. Then I'm going to go ahead and do Erupting Earth. I choose a point on the ground. Earth and stone erupt in a 20-foot cube centered on that point. Each creature in that area must make a dexterity saving throw.
He got a 2, and that's plus 3, so that's a sweet old 5.
Nice.
He's not good. A very fast boy.
Cool. So then he's going to take 3d12 bludgeoning damage. 16?
16, all right.
So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and have my thrall get that goddamn ghost. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I only rolled a fucking 3, so.
It's Jared's turn. Jared!
Okay. Yes, all right. I'm, now I'm just, like, full of spores. I smell shitty as hell. I'm very fungal.
I feel like by Golgari standards, that might be good.
Yeah, it's probably like you guys are probably like, wow.
Yeah, we're like, damn, Jared, the that's
The pheromones. Musky.
You.
I think I need. Do you need healing? You guys both need healing, huh? On my way, though, I'm gonna run past the giant.
I think as a small creature, you can like run between his legs. You can go through the same space as he is.
Yeah, and then because I'm within 10 feet of him, my spores are gonna deal him damage.
Nice. Amazing.
That's fucking incredible.
And because I cast my thing, it does double damage.
Nice.
Wow.
Earlier.
So that's gonna be 7 damage to him as I run past.
Nice, nice.
And then I'm going to, just because I smell so, so bad. And then he's undone. I think it must be psychic damage because he can't believe how bad I smell.
Yeah.
he's driven insane by the eldritch knowledge.
It's like when people smell that like pickled canned fish from Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I'm gonna run over to Isil. And that's gonna do plus 11.
1,000 thanks, Jared.
Yeah, no problem. I'm pumped.
Yay.
What is that perfume? It's beautiful.
It's my natural musk.
Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, you're killing it.
It's the giant's turn.
Yeah.
And giant is gonna, let's see, Jared ran through his legs, so he's gonna go for you, Jared.
I'm disengaged with him.
He can still come after you.
I know.
You've disengaged, giant.
I didn't ask to be part of your narrative, giant.
Yeah, he's gonna throw his spear. And does a 23 hit?
Okay. No, it doesn't hit.
I know it does.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me, son. Don't lie to me, Jared.
Whatever.
So that is going to be 7 damage.
All right, cool.
Tis but a scratch.
He's just not able to throw it so good. Mm-hmm. He's feeling a little feeble. Mm-hmm. We're back up to Eggie.
Okay, all the ghosts are dead.
I didn't hit the ghost.
I didn't hit the ghost either.
Okay.
You got to take out the ghost, Eggie.
I hit the ghost with my short sword.
All right.
Ooh,
that
nice.
Was a good, it was 18 base, so it hits.
Yep.
7 damage.
The ghost is still alive.
God damn it. Okay, Boga goes after that fucking ghost.
Okay.
I hate ghosts.
Get, kill this goddamn ghost. Boga hits.
Yes.
9.
And it kills it. How does Boga kill it?
Boga takes her big little, her clawsies.
Mm-hmm.
And like, have you guys ever seen a turtle eat food?
No.
No.
So what they do is they basically bite into the, like, it's just one end of it, and mm-hmm. then they take their claw and, like, dig their claws all the way
Ew.
Through and then rip the body in half and throw it.
No.
So that's what Boga does to this ghost.
Nice. You've defeated all the ghosts.
Finally.
Oh, those damned ghosts.
All right.
Busted.
Now, you've busted the ghosts. The ghosts have been busted, and now it is... just you and a big angry giant, Isil. What are you going to do?
I'm going to serve some executive realness.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just go ahead and cast Chromatic Orb, but this time I'm going to cast it with a level 3 spell slot.
Whoa. Okay.
So that's 18 plus 6.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Sweet. 18. How does that fucking taste?
It tastes bad.
Real bad.
Is that bad mouthfeel?
Tastes bad. Bad mouthfeel.
Tastes like that fish?
Tastes like that fish.
Yeah.
Giant does not love that, but it's Jared's turn.
Actually, it's my
it's
thrall's turn.
Thrall.
Oh, I'm bad. All right, here we go. Go and get them, thrall. And so 15, does that?
No, that does not hit.
Really?
It's a giant. All right.
Go.
And
you're embarrassing me, thrall.
Yeah, the thrall, like, weak, undead arms. The sword just sort of pings off of the giant's tough skin.
Come on, what is that?
All right, Jared.
So I think I'm going to come heal my friend Eggie again. 10 damage. 10 healing.
10 reverse damage.
10 healing damage.
I'm resistant to healing damage.
All right, and now it's the giant's turn. The giant is going to turn its gaze to Isil. Isil, are you ready?
I'm fucking ready.
Does a 16 hit your armor class?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Wizard.
Yeah? What about a 15?
Yes.
What about a 21?
Cat!
Oh, man, he rolled so bad. Total of 9, reduced by half, is 4.
Nice.
All right, and now it is Eggie's turn.
Oh, okay, I'm going to get behind him, I guess. I don't have Boga go in front because she has a higher
armor class. Does that mean we both get advantage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
15.
That doesn't hit.
Yeah, so.
Boga!
Boga! It's 14 plus 9. 23.
So. That'll hit.
11 plus. He needs to make a constitution save. I'm sure he'll do it.
10.
Oh!
He rolled a 4.
He didn't. Is he ready to receive Boga's amazing insane damage?
Yeah.
It's 19.
Whoa.
Yeah. She, when you don't make the save for the constitution, she does 3d6 poison damage in addition to her other damage.
Isil, you're up.
All right. Maybe I'll try vampiric touch, because what the hell, right?
Yeah.
You know, why not? Let's just get crazy with it. So melee spell attack. So it'd be 10 and, aha, 19.
That'll
like
hit.
That. Okay. So basically the touch of my hand can siphon force from others to heal my wounds.
Nice.
So he'll take 3d6 necrotic damage.
14.
So
14.
I'll have those 4 points of damage back, idiot.
All right, the giant does not like that. He gives a roar of pain.
So yeah, I'm gonna have my thrall attack. Mm-hmm. That's a natty 20.
No.
Oh shit.
Wow, 4 damage.
Plus 2.
6 damage. This guy's on fire. So I'm gonna command my thrall to climb up that giant like he's a big old tree.
Like he's a beanstalk.
Like a fucking beanstalk, yes.
Jared, you're up.
Yeah, so if I cast jump on myself, can I just jump on his, like, head?
yeah, I mean, I can't stop you from doing that.
Yes! Jared!
It can only be Jared.
It can only be Jared.
If I die, I die.
Yeah.
So I cast jump on myself.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to jump right up onto the giant's little shoulder.
Okay.
And then what?
And?
Wink. That's my action.
That's it? Okay.
I mean, he will take damage from me being near his face.
That's true.
Oh, I forgot.
Because
oh,
yeah. You're stink heinous
boy.
Stink.
You're a little stinky boy.
So that is 6 total damage.
Okay. So then it is the giant's turn. The giant has a zombie crawling on him and a tiny goblin near his face that smells really bad.
I'm so small.
He is going to stumble back away from this fight. There's all these people on the ground, which I think gives all of you an attack of opportunity because he is trying to disengage.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Whoa. Oh. So that's you two and a lizard.
4 for me.
Okay. That doesn't hit.
It doesn't hit. Boga hits.
Boga.
Oh, Boga.
That's all that matters. Boga's my beautiful lady.
You trained her up.
Yeah, I trained her up real good. Raised her from a little baby lizard.
Plus he has to do a constitution save.
Yeah, make him do that consti save.
21.
Okay, well that works, but he still takes half damage.
Okay.
14 damage.
And I'm an idiot and just figured out that vampiric touch is really cool because you can make the attack again on each of your turns as an action.
Oh.
17?
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah, it's rough.
So the giant takes some damage, and he is going to swat at Jared by his head.
No.
As he stumbles back, but I guess that is a 24. So he does hit.
Ow! Also, I speak giant, so I'm like, what the heck, dude? Hey!
It's my job. I'm in debt.
Oh, aww. No, we're going to kill this guy.
Yeah, and then the Orzhov Syndicate gets his ghost, so.
I'm fine with that.
Oof.
All right, so he only does 2 damage to you.
Ouch. I hold on.
Yeah, you hold on.
Damn.
Well, it is Eggy.
I'm going to run up.
Mm-hmm.
Slash at his little feet.
Okay.
20.
That'll hit.
So that's 6 damage.
6 damage? Okay. Yeah.
Boga gonna attack too?
Oh yeah, you know Boga's gonna snap at his little toesies.
Okay.
Snap those toes.
That's 21.
That'll hit.
Okay.
Nice.
You guys watch me go through that math struggle.
It was like watching that meme.
Okay. That's literally exactly what I was thinking of.
Okay, ooh, nice. 10 damage from her bite.
Okay.
And he'll need to make a constitution saving throw.
That's 20.
So he takes 15 damage total.
He is not a happy looking boy.
Good.
And now it is Isil's turn.
If I don't get a turn when I'm on top of this giant, I'll be so mad.
Sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and try to get some use out of this vampiric touch. So, 19?
19 will hit.
Cool. 11 plus, so 13.
13. All right. I'm sorry, Jared.
God damn it!
As your touch drains the last of the giant's life force, he falls to his knees with a groan and then falls down dead on the cave floor.
I jump off real high because I still have jump on me. I jump so fucking high.
I completely ignore what Jared's doing.
I do a flip.
And I immediately say...
I do another flip. I do back spring.
It's sealed or please animate him.
I can do it.
Do you hear that?
I can do it.
What's that noise?
I land with like my hands in the air like a V.
Like a gymnast?
Yeah.
Well, let's not get too hasty. I mean, let's think about this.
I use fungal infestation to bring him, to bring the zombie back to life with one hit point.
All right.
What does he say?
Hey, buddy, I say.
He gets back up.
I'm so sorry about your immortal soul.
I'm not.
All right, dude. Now let's go into that vault.
So the vault, once again, is suspended over this canyon by big, thick chains.
Okay,
is it like a big box or is it like an open floor?
No, it's a big box.
Okay, wait, so what do our magic potions do again?
You have one mushroom that will drill through the vault and one mushroom that will replicate anything that you take from the vault.
Okay, yes.
Okay, I cast find traps.
You don't see any traps.
And does it have like a door then that's locked or what's...
You don't see a door from the ground.
Well, I don't need to be on the ground, so...
So you fly up to see?
Yeah, I'm going to get a little flappy. I'm going to flap up so that I can investigate the various sides of this vault. And I'm just laughing maniacally as I do so. But,
back... we all are. It's the Golgari way.
Yeah. All right, you find at the top of the vault, there is a big metal door with a big complicated-looking lock on it. And above that, when you look up, you see there's another similarly locked door. You can actually see the mechanisms of the lock from underneath. But it looks like that is the entrance to this room where there is this vault. Presumably, they have a ladder.
Mm. So we just need our good mushroom boy. So mm-hmm. I guess I'll call down Jackpot.
Can you jump up there?
Yeah, I can jump up there.
Okay.
All right. What's the distance, like, diagonally for me to throw my dagger up there? That was a nat 20.
Okay, all you right. Do it.
I do it.
You throw your dagger up on top. An incredible distance.
Yes. And then I teleport to my dagger.
All right.
And I'm on top.
You are on top.
And I also have the seeds.
And the giant, the undead giant is...
hanging out.
So let's put the mushroom, like, on top of the
vault.
You place the mushroom onto the door of the vault, and it just sits there for a minute because it does not have magic powering it.
I give it some touch of your spores. It and give it my spore energy.
All right.
Chaotic spore energy.
Yeah.
All right, so you give it your spore energy, and it blooms into an aggressively red-capped toadstool about the size of a manhole cover. And as the cap spreads open, the veil beneath it rips and releases a multitude of pink spores, which settle onto the surface of the vault. There's the noise of grinding stone, and then the mushroom falls into the circular hole that is created in the vault. Just big enough for the three of you to wriggle through. Well, big enough for the two of you to wriggle through and one of you to just jump in easily. Inside the vault is a neatly organized hoard of treasure. There are chests full of gold, each one marked with how much it contains. There are shelves with beautiful items made of precious metals and inlaid with gemstones, and the titles and the values listed underneath. Some of these pulse with powerful magics, and the neat and tidy Orzhov scribes have listed the effects of each item for you.
I take out the second vial, and I open it, and I shake the little spores across the room.
All right. Spores settle over everything in the room and take in a imprint of what is there, so that once you have taken the item, a mushroom will grow into the exact size and shape of the item that was taken.
Do any of the items have effects that would make it easier to, like,
carry stuff out? Like, is there a bag of holding in here?
There is a bag of holding in
here. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, boys. Let's start shoving shit in that bag of holding.
Oh, you know it.
It sounds legit.
Yeah, I hold it wide open, you boys.
Oh, yeah.
Get it in.
While we're doing that, if there are any, like, nice wine glasses or anything like that, like, I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Oh, yeah, there's a nice set of, like, a crystal decanter with matching glasses.
I make a mental note later.
Are there any, like, little lizard figurines?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, then.
Is there any Gerard merch?
There's no Gerard merch, I'm afraid.
So tragic.
Oh, man, you guys. These people don't know style. And then I open up my armor and I'm wearing a shirt with Gerard's face on it. Like, this is style.
You sure have that right.
Fashion.
Jared.
I don't know. These glasses are pretty nice.
Yes, I do like these lizards.
I, like, open my shirt further and it says Gerard Lich of the Golgari on it. Mm-hmm. I say, what does it say?
It says, I fought really big stand back.
Nice one.
Thank you.
I give you a high five.
Yeah. I nod and I'm like, man, that's so true. Gotta give him a warning. Button my little leather armor back up.
All right, so you guys raid this vault. And after you're done, Jared, you are able to activate the spores. And in the place of everything that you've taken, you see a fungal form take shape and then solidify into an exact replica of what you've just stolen.
Nice. Back out the way we came.
Okay, so you guys, you get back down. Before you guys can leave, if you want this giant to come with you, he has to make it up a 40-foot drop.
Well, there's a chain.
There is a chain.
There's a chain. I can also cast Spider Climb on him.
Please do that.
Okay. Hold on. How long does Spider Climb
wait,
active
before,
for now?
Before we cast Spider Climb on him, we need to give him a name.
He's your thrall. You should name him. And don't think that I'm going to clean up after him either.
Yes, he'll have very large pubes.
Hmm. Jim, excuse?
Say that word one more time, Caitlin.
He'll have very large pubes.
It didn't get any better.
I'm like,
oh boy.
What in the world? So I just like, I just shut down my mind to hearing that. I look at my beautiful giant, who is my son, my boy, my special little guy. And I think, what are names? What are some names?
Spot. Clifford.
Spike.
I know, you guys. This guy's name is going to be Jared.
Why am I not surprised?
Jared.
Jared.
It could only be Jared.
All right. And you guys make it back. You get to that little crack in the wall that you came through to get to this path.
And it's weird how, like, Jared is our friend, but, like, he's super dead.
I look at him and I see myself in several years and I feel nothing but comfort.
Same!
Thank God it's Friday, am I right?
Yes. What are you all doing this weekend?
I'm just, like, you know, gonna, like, hang out at the grave of my... Common Gad.
I thought I might lie in a nice patch of dirt just to see what it's like.
Well, my uncle actually has a rot farm. I was thinking of having like a wine tasting if you guys are interested.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I never had wine before.
I'd love to try some.
It's like I always say, I never drink wine except when I'm bored or tired or thirsty or happy.
Isil, you're holding a wine glass right now.
Isil, have you been drunk this entire time?
Well, a lady never tells.
All right, so you guys head to the depot under the 6th District. This is where you were sent to drop off your illicit hoard. From outside, you would never pick this building out from the rubble and ruin around it, except for the Medusa standing outside with her arms crossed, talking to a man in a ragged black cloak. The Medusa, tall and buff with daggers strapped to her legs, hisses at the man, and he shrinks back, then hands her a bag full of coins while grumbling. The Medusa weighs the bag in one hand, then nods and motions over her shoulder. Two goblins come out dragging a chest. They open it and show a small hoard of valuables and magic items. The man inspects them, nods, and then two buff tough men, who were idling nearby, come forward, shut the lid of the box, and haul it off. And the Medusa then turns her terrifying gaze to the three of you and says, "Hey, you three, no loitering. What do you want?"
Aggie starts to feel heart palpitations because this is the most beautiful creature that she's ever laid eyes on.
Yeah, I will say that if I could sweat, that I'd be sweating.
Right?
I'm Jared, 19. I say. So I'm gonna elbow Iggy and be like, play it cool, okay?
I will try desperately, but I cannot make any promises.
We're actually here to see Chancellor Rizdana. We've brought something for her.
Hello, do you come here often? Do you?
Eggy, relax.
Do you work here quite a bit?
Hold.
I'm so sorry.
Hold it in.
I have this bag.
I pull out the bag of holding.
The Medusa takes the bag from you and gives an appraising nod. And she says, "My chancellor's not here, but she told me you'd be coming. This is a great help." And she motions over her shoulder, and the two goblins who had carried out that chest carry in an empty one. And she just upturns the bag of holding into that chest. And there's a comedically long pause as your various stolen items come out. They all
it's
tumble
too big
out.
For the chest, right? Yeah.
Yep, and then she has to get another chest hauled in.
Yep.
Nice.
And this repeats a couple times. Then she nods and has the goblins haul all of this back into the depot. And as the goblins pull the chests inside, you catch a glimpse into this depot, and you see a hoard, a vast hoard of magic items that are stored inside. And the Medusa grins when she sees that you guys are looking. She puts her hands on her hips and says, "You see that? That's what the future of the Golgari looks like, my friends. Soon, Ravnica will know the true power of the things they push off to live in the shadows. Soon, they will see the true might of our swarm."
So that is it for us, you guys. Thanks so much to Wizards of the Coast and the D20 Dames for inviting us to be part of this awesome project and event. We have been Dames and Dragons, and if you want to hear more of us playing D&D, having shenanigans, going on adventures, and solving mysteries, be sure to check us out at damesanddragons.com. Look up Dames and Dragons wherever you usually download podcasts. Or you can find us at Dragon Dames on Twitter. Also, make sure you check out the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica when it's released. And stay sweet, salty, and wearing a human skin, my beautiful angelfish.